God is good.
All the time.
You may be seated. Luke is the wise one today. As we were greeting one another, he looked around and he said to Anna, he said, "Why are all these people here? What did they come for?" Do we ever think about why we're here? The little ones do. And we're glad to have them with us and their wisdom at times when we don't think about it. Today is the beginning of Holy Week, Palm Sunday, on a day when Christ begins his final journey. 7 days, actually there's eight, but one we'll talk about. The days that changed the world, that made a difference in the world that we live in and the place that we serve. I got this to help old eyes a little bit now. See a little better. Basically read to you the story. And on Sunday, Jesus rides in to Jerusalem. He comes with excitement, with joy, with an understanding of what's about to happen in his heart and in his mind, but who all the people who are with him don't agree with. He's riding on to his death and resurrection. He sends the disciples to get a couple of donkeys. He actually gets one to ride. And they put blankets on them, their cloaks, whatever. And people begin to see him coming. And they've heard for a long time that he was going to be coming to Jerusalem. But this time of year, everybody came to Jerusalem. If you were a good Jew, you went to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And that's what will happen on Thursday night, the Passover meal. So the excitement everywhere is that people come. They come bringing their livestock and what they will offer as sacrifices. They come with joy in their hearts because of their memories of the Exodus. They come celebrating who they are as Jewish people. What a day as he rides in. Well, Monday, he kind of puts a damper on things. Because he goes to the temple. And he goes to the temple not very happy. Because what's happening? People are there selling doves and whatever they can so that those who didn't have an offering to bring could buy something. They had money changers. Money changers who were taking the coins of Caesar and changing them for the coins of the temple. This was totally against everything that was allowable under Hebrew law. Why? Whose faith was on the drachma? Caesar's. And who are we to honor? We're to honor God alone. So you bring Caesar's image in and you honor him by buying more of his coins and using the proceeds to buy the offering that you're giving to God. Jesus was so angry that he made cords out of rope. And he overturned tables. And he whipped people. He did everything to destroy what was going on. Because they made his house a den of thieves instead of a house of prayer. And he was very angry about that. On Tuesday, the third day, he spends his time teaching. He spends his time sitting in the temple and sharing parables with the people to help them know what's expected, to help them understand what God has done for them. He also uses this time to warn of the Pharisees. Warn that they are not good for the church. They are not good for God. And they are interested in their own self-promotion. And he says that the destruction of the temple will come. Now the temple he talks about is not like this temple here made of stone. It's the temple of Jesus' body that will be destroyed. He will be killed. But in 3 days, he will rebuild that temple. He foretells of the resurrection of his body and soul. Something people can't understand because they've never heard it before. Well, there was Lazarus, wasn't there? Who Jesus brought back from the dead. But people don't grasp what he's trying to tell them. Wednesday, he must have been exhausted. Because there's nothing recorded that he did anything on Wednesday. So Wednesday is kind of that lost day in the middle. As people are waiting to see what happens. Thursday, he gathers with his disciples in the upper room. A place where they go to have the Passover meal together. Where they go to relive what happened in the Exodus. If you all remember the story of the Exodus, all the firstborn children, males, were going to be destroyed. But God said, for every household that has the blood of the lamb over the doorposts, the children will be spared. The blood of the lamb, which is what we receive when we receive Holy Communion. We receive the very blood and body of Jesus Christ, which tells the evil ones to pass over us, to not harm us. They look at the Exodus and the broken bodies, and the body of Christ is the body that's to be broken for each and every one of them, for each and every one of us. I want you to think about these things as you go through the week, because this is what's happening leading up to next Sunday morning, when we will rejoice in our own salvation. In the garden on Thursday evening after he's done with the meal, he goes to pray. He goes up, he prays asking, God, if you can remove this cup from me, please do it. It almost sounds like he's backing out, doesn't it? But he's not. Because he realizes that he does not give himself for our sins, everyone will die. None will be saved. And he continues. While he's praying, he's asked his three disciples to pray with him. Peter, James, and John, who we've talked a little bit about in Bible class. They were always with him. And he said, pray with me just for 1 hour. He came back to them. They were all sound asleep. They couldn't keep it up. He said, could you not pray with me just 1 hour? He asked us that same question every day. Could you not pray with me just 1 hour? Could you not care enough to pray for those who need to know him? To know the life that he has for them. Hard to do. Hard to do. But that's what Christ would love for us to do. Read our Bible, pray a little, spend some time with him, get to know him. It's important. It is
life-changing.
It is life-saving. All of us know someone who needs our prayers. Friday. I don't know why they call it Good Friday. Because to me it's not very good what happens. But the results are good. The results are wonderful. In the garden that night, he gets taken away by the troops. After Peter whacks the ear off of one of them. And Jesus says, no. That's not who we are. That's not what we do. And in a miracle, he put the ear back. Like it was never lost. Jesus does that for us all the time. We cut ourselves off from him. And he performs miracles that bring us back to him. Keeps us with him. Friday morning, trial starts. He's betrayed by Judas the night before for a little bit of money. Very little bit of money. He's arrested, taken to prison. When he's in prison, he gets mocked. What does that mean, mocked? Soldiers gather around him. They spit at him. They take their whips and lash him. They beat on him. They show him no respect at all. Who do you think you are that you can say that you're the Son of God? Who do you think you are that you say you can save the whole world? We're the ones in power. Caesar is the Almighty. Can you imagine what that would be like? Can you imagine what it would be like for people just to watch it? But you know the crowd mentality. Crowd gets into this kind of stuff. They cheer it on. They try to help. They could be even a little worse if they can. False trials. They can't find anything against him. Herod says, I find nothing against this man. But yet, what do they yell? Crucify him! Crucify him! Why? What are they afraid of? He's denied every one of his disciples who people identify and say, you're with him. I've seen you there. You're part of the crew. They all said, no, not me. Peter, who was told by Christ that he would deny him three times, he said, I never will. But when the cock crowed in the morning, Peter had denied him three times. Finally, he's condemned, sentenced to death, death on the cross, which is the most demeaning death that anyone could suffer at that time. To be hung on a piece of wood was just absolutely the greatest insult that could be dished out. And then, to add to the insult, he had to carry his cross himself. And I don't know if you've ever seen pictures of the Via Dolorosa, which is where he carried his cross. very steep,
very narrow.
Thousands of people are in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. But they had a show going on. So let's go see what's going on with the show. And they come and line the streets. And they watch him carry his cross up steep hills, the steps, the narrow pathways. They yell at him. They too treat him like the guards did. But he goes willingly. He goes willingly. If you've ever seen the movie that was put out several years ago called The Passion of Christ, they visualize this almost too well, because you can see the stripes on his back from the whips, the beating, and the nailing to the cross. As they lay him down on the cross and drive those nails into his hands and his feet, and then lift him up. And you think about lifting him up, okay. But when they get it up so far, it just drops into the hole. And you can see his whole body take the shock of what he's going through. None of us will ever have to experience what he did. None of us can die for someone else's sins. None of us can survive that kind of death on our own. But there on Golgotha, he died next to two prisoners, two men who were guilty. One who realized that Christ was who he said he was and confessed him. The other who ridiculed him. But Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. He didn't say one or the other. He said both of them. Because he died to forgive all sins. He goes then to the tomb. And the ladies go to prepare his body with some expensive perfumes and spices on Sunday morning. But when they get there, the stone's gone. It's been rolled away. Who would do that? Why was that done? So they go and look. Christ is not there. The garments that he was covered with still lay there. The one that covered his body was kind of like the kids leave their bed sheets every morning, crumpled up and in a pile. And then the piece that covered his face was neatly folded and placed there for others to see. What happens when the body of your loved one is gone? It's missing. How do we feel? Very difficult, isn't it? But on Sunday, as they go about their business, walking down the road, the women are confronted by a man. They don't recognize him. It's Christ. And when they do recognize him, they bow down and are happy and joyful and everything else, because he lives. He lives for all of us. And he said, go and tell my disciples to gather in the upper room again, and I'll be there. When he gets there, the doors are locked. Why do you think the doors are locked? A lot of times all they had was a string they put through the door and you could pull the door open. But these were securely locked so no one could get through. And they're all standing in there kind of mumbling probably and talking, what do you think's going to happen next? Are they going to come get us? Because they know who we are. Are we going to be the next to be crucified? Are we going to be the next? And Christ appears among them. Whole body. Filled with marks in his hands and in his feet. What a miraculous thing. He is risen from the dead. He is risen for each and every one of us. On that day when he returns again, we will rise to be with him. We will rise in glory to go with him to our final resting place, a place of joy and happiness, a place of comfort, a place of peace, a place where there is no anger, there's no judgment, there's no pain from illness, from cancer, from everything else that we could suffer from. Because he did this. And this week we'll walk through these days at church. Thursday evening, 6:30 at Holy Cross. Final communion before Easter morning. Our Passover, we will celebrate it with joy in our hearts. On Friday evening at 6:30, Good Friday, we'll have a service then. Fefe will be involved in that service's liturgy, along with Pastor Goff. A time that you don't want to miss. Because the more often we take this walk with Jesus, the more often we realize what a gift he has given to us. What a precious, precious gift. He gives us the gift of life that we can't receive anywhere else. Gift of life that we share together. Sunday morning, we will come here and celebrate with communion, with song, with dance. We will come to praise our Lord, who has given us the gift of eternal life. A gift that we can't imagine. I have had kids sometimes ask me, well, what are we going to do when we go to heaven? We just going to sit around and stare at things? Or are we going to be on our knees before God and pray all the time? What are we going to do? I don't know. But I think it's going to be more fun than we've had here on this earth. I think it's going to be a time of great joy, of life that we can live in happiness and in faith and thanksgiving as truly brothers and sisters in Christ. Something we strive for but don't always get. So as you walk this week, think about the walk that Christ had. As he came in on this day, Palm Sunday, with people climbing trees and cutting down palm leaves and laying them on the ground and throwing their cloaks down so that there's a path for him, a royal path. It reminds me of the wedding when you draw the white cloth down the center aisle so the bride has a clean path to walk. That's what we do for Christ on this day. And then the work and the sorrow that he goes through. The anguish. I always think about, why didn't he just go poof and go away? Why did he care so much for you and for me that he died for us? I know that's one of the questions I want to ask him, but I probably will forget it by the time I get there. God is good. All the time. Walk with us to the cross. And walk with us to the resurrection. In Jesus' name. Amen.